Well, it's December 2016, and we're going to deal with think about what you are thinking about. Think about what you are thinking about. And we're putting it on hold. Is there an extra one?
Yep.
Perfect. There you go. The entire teaching is on that page. All the verses come from the Working Translation, which is a Greek translation of the New Testament, and very much clearer than many of other translations. So that's what this is, why you have it like this. So we continue. We're going to think about what we are thinking about. Instead of just thinking about it, we're going to think about what we're thinking about. Because Dave and I were talking about that earlier, and it's a matter of many times you catch yourself and going, why am I thinking like that? Or maybe I should rephrase that. Many times we should catch ourselves and say, why am I thinking that way? So this is thinking about what you are thinking about. And we're going to look at Romans 12, 1 and 2 to start with. Therefore, brothers, this is from the Working Translation. Therefore, brothers. Did I say therefore, brothers? No, I'll say it again. I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. So, our logical service is because everything that Christ did, the word in King James is logistico, which basically means religious or divine or logical. And it's the word service there deals with the latria, which is the service in the temple. So, you present yourself a living sacrifice. Takes you back to Patton. A living sacrifice. We are living sacrifices. Holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. So don't be fashioned by this age. The world is trying to make you into something you are not. You are a child of God. You logically should be doing things that God wants you to do and not be fashioned. Don't conform to this world. Stop getting tattooed. Oh, I'm too late. But the point is that we don't live our life after this age, after the world, being fashioned according to the world. It doesn't. Our thinking isn't because of it. Our thinking is because of what the Word of God says. Instead of being fashioned and doing everything that everybody else does of this world, be transfigured or transformed. Be transfigured by the renewing of your mind so that you then can prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. See, you change your mind to think and live God's good and well-pleasing and mature will. We change accordingly to what the Word says and not to what the world says. So if we catch ourselves being world thinking all the time, we've got to stop and go, let's go back to what the Word says on this. Now, an example of this is to pray for those that are in authority. Because some of those who are in authority are easier to pray for than others. Depending upon if I like the person or not, it's easier to pray for them. But that's not what the Word of God says. It says pray for them. Why? Because they need prayer. Let's read what it says in 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, I exhort you that first of all, prayer requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, including for kings and all who are in prominent positions. Why? Why does God want us to pray for all these people? Well, the next 3 and 4 verses show us that. So that we then may lead a quiet and tranquil life with all godliness and dignity. We can continue to live the life we want to lead, because that's good and acceptable to the sight of God, our Savior, and who, by the way, wants all people to go to hell. No, God doesn't. God wants all people to be saved. That's the heart of God. He wants everybody, young, old, black, green, red. It doesn't matter. God wants everybody to be saved, and then he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, praying our specific prayer requests, prayers in general, making intercessions on behalf of other people, and just being thankful for those who are in authority, for kings or presidents or premiers or emperors or, you know, mayors, and anybody in a prominent position. result, quiet, tranquil life. We can then, godliness is our relationship with God, having a true, vital, spiritual, living relationship with the Father. Dignity, God likes that. Because, by the way, God wants everybody to be saved in doing that. And then we have the freedom to move the word and the freedom then to teach others about the truth. But who needs all that? We do. So it comes back to a great example. Conforming to the world, I hate this guy, I didn't vote for this person. Or I love this guy, I voted for this person. Or I don't care, I'm supposed to pray. No matter what, you pray for the individual. You see, the mind is renewed in a particular area when it can receive new ideas and withstand pleasure and pressure without shock, frustration, confusion, worry, or doubt. So I ask you a question. Are your likes or are your dislikes, do they line up with God? Are they the same as God? You know? Well, we can all hate the Raiders. That's okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. Sorry. No, that's not even that. You can't. Darn. All right. Figuratively. But because God doesn't care. So, likes, dislikes, according to God. When your mind can take in, you know, we've just been in an accident. Everybody's okay. I will be right there without going, ah! Okay. You know, type stuff. You're renewing your mind. I've got to go live in cold weather? What? All right, 2 Corinthians 3, because got to get past the initial shock sometimes and then deal with our minds. Now, this tells us that it's available in 2 Corinthians 10. Although we walk in the flesh, is there anybody here who's a ghost? All right, Gracie, are you a ghost? No, you look like a person to me. All right, that's good. Since we walk in the flesh, we don't war, though. Our warfare isn't according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not tanks and bazookas and guns and boomerangs and, you know, arrows. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are still powerful. How are they powerful? They're powerful by God through the demolition of fortified strongholds, demolishing reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and leading captive every kind of thinking in obedience to Christ. So, we can lead captive every kind of thinking. When you think and find out that your thinking isn't very good thoughts, we can change our thinking. We don't have to continue along that way. But you have to do it. That's the whole point. You're in control of your mind. You don't ever give up control of your mind. You don't ever turn it over to anything, anybody, or any drug. You lead captive every kind of thinking to the obedience of Christ. And that's what it comes back. In the middle of warfare, in the middle of spiritual warfare, you demolish reasonings and high things that say, I'm just as good as God. And you look at it and go, no, you're not. Yes, that reasoning, you may think it's really good, but in comparison to what God accomplished in Christ, it fades. You know, and that's why you compare it to that. You lead every kind of thinking into obedience of Christ. So it's available to control your thinking. It's available to change what you're thinking. You change it to Christ. I do not like this person I'm working with. I do not like this person I'm working for. I do not like the fact that I have to serve green eggs and ham every day. All right. It's available to control your own thinking. And then change it. I think I'll think about Christ today instead of green eggs and ham. Okay? I think that's better. Why? Because Hebrews 12 tells us that. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses encompassing us, that's chapter 11, is all those great people, let us then, because of what they accomplished, their great examples, let us strip off every impediment and entangling sin, get rid of the stuff that's holding us back, the fear, the, you know, condemnation, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I'm too short, I'm too green, I'm too whatever, in all of that, and instead, run with patience. Not run scared out of your mind. If you don't do it, nothing's going to get done. Run with patience in the contest lying before us. And here's how we run. Looking with undivided attention to the leader down the path and perfecter of the right way of believing, in case you didn't know who it was, Jesus, who, because of the joy lying before him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right side of the throne of God. By all means, attentively consider him. There you go. What situation in life can we not consider him in? Let's continue reading because this answers all our questions. By all means, attentively consider him who has endured such controversy from sinners against himself, so that you are not weary and exhausted in your souls. You have not withstood to the point of shedding your blood while struggling against the sin. Anybody here die on behalf of mankind? Nope, don't have to. We don't have to go to the Philippines and get crucified every Easter.
Good.
Yeah, it is good. He did it. Done once. Enjoy. He's going, it's all here. What do you need? That checkbook right here. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? God, this person needs. Hey, you know. It's available then. Attentively consider him so as not to get weary and exhausted in your soul life. Because it's pretty easy to get weary and exhausted. Welcome to life. And, you know, that's what happens when we stop considering him. When we start mentally giving in to the exhaustion, to the weariness, to the things of this world, then we stop. And good thing he didn't quit midstream. Good thing he didn't go, you know, getting beat up's okay, but I'm not going to go to the cross or the tree. I'm not going to do that. That's too much. No, he did it all. So we can consider him. In fact, let's see what Philippians 4 tells us. Do not be anxious. Do not be distracted about anything. Well, that's easy. What were you talking about? Do not be distracted about anything, but instead in everything. So it's available not to be there in anything, but to be there in everything. By prayer and prayer requests with thanksgiving, let your petitions be known to God. God's there all the time. And you know what God will do? Well, let's keep reading. And the peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking. The peace of God, which is more excellent than every way of thinking, will protect your hearts and will protect your thinking in Christ Jesus. Which is why we think about what we're thinking about and put Christ in there, because all our thoughts need to end up there. Because then we don't get weary. Then we can keep moving. And God's peace will be with us and protect us. So henceforth, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, how about considering those things? Do you think the peace of God will be much more available for you than to deal with than all the other craziness of the world? Yes. Think things that are true. Think things that are honorable. Think things that are just. Think things that are pure. Think things that are lovely. Think things that are good report. Consider those things. And then he's going to say, hey, look, I'm your example. Which you also learned and received and heard and saw in me. I've been doing all those things. So you guys can practice these things. And the end result, the God of peace will be with you. How many of you like to have the God of peace with you? I think that's a great God. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at your last, your thinking about me has flourished again, about which you were thinking, but you lacked an opportune time. So he's laying it out to them, what's going on, and that they need to think and consider certain things. And now he's giving himself as an example because he's endeavoring to do it. And now he's going to give a specific situation in his life that he was thankful that they started thinking about him. All right, so I rejoice that you started thinking about me, and that you know it's flourished again. You guys, you know, didn't just pray for me; you got thinking about me. I know you would have, but you didn't have an opportune time. But I'm not speaking in respect of lack, for I have learned to be self-sufficient, whatever state I am. I know how to be humbled. I also know how to be abundant. If any and everything, I have been initiated not only to be satisfied with food, but also to be hungry, not only to be abundant, but also to lack. I prevail in all things by him who empowers me. Nevertheless, I'm you did well by sharing my affliction. You know, I can handle all of this, but you know what? I'm glad you started thinking of me and helped out. You know, this is just so real life. Now he's going to tell what's going to happen to them because they helped him in his situation. It wasn't just by prayers. It was more. Now, you Philippians also know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, Philippi is a city in Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving except you only. Even Thessalonica, you sent something for my need, not just once, but twice. It is not that I'm seeking for a gift, but I seek for the fruit that increases in your account. I have received all in full, and I abound. I have been supplied in that I have received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet aromatic fragrance, an acceptable sacrifice, while pleasing to God, and in return, my God's going to supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So, he's saying, consider these things, think about all these great things, and by the way, I am real thankful you guys thought of me, not because I needed it, though it is really helpful, but because you will get blessed back in your giving. God will bless you back. And that's the whole crux there. See, the statement I wrote is, I am thankful that you started thinking of me, and not only could help by praying for me, but also you were able to help meet my physical need too, because you will be rewarded for your help. I'm thankful, but I'm even more thankful you're going to get blessed back, is what he's saying. Which is great, which is true. You know? Because God was meeting his need, taking care of him, he was working in this situation. So, Romans 8. So there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit, that is to say, the life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of the sin and the death. In fact, what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, condemned the sin in the flesh, so that the standard for justice of the law of Moses might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, not according to the world, not according to the cravings of this time frame, but instead we walk according to the Spirit. In fact, those who are according to the flesh are going to think the things of the flesh. You know, I just am amazed that everything of the flesh has a TV channel today. It's all there, from the shopping network to the bakery network to everything. They're all out there. In fact, those who are according to the flesh think the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, they can think the things of the Spirit. So the thinking of the flesh is not really profitable at all, because it just brings death. It's of no value. But the thinking of the Spirit will bring you life and peace. Because the thinking of the flesh is hostility towards God, for it is not in subjection to the law of God, nor can it be. Those who are in the flesh, those who continue to just think about the flesh, about this world, this age, that we're not to conform to, can't please God. Just that simple. Where's Christ in all of that? Well, he's not there. Again, we have a choice on what to consider. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ in our thinking, and not to spend time on the cravings of the flesh. You got to think about the flesh. You got to wear clothes. You got to eat food. You got to have work or school or something to do it all day long. You can't just sit and watch Home Shopping Network. You got to make some money to buy things off of it. So we put on the Lord Jesus Christ in our thinking. We don't spend time on the cravings, the excesses, the lustings that deal with the flesh. Romans 13:14 lays it out very clearly. Instead, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and make no thoughtful provision for the flesh, the old nature, with regard to its cravings. Its cravings, its lust, its excesses. That's the key. You know, you got 17 trucks. How many do you need? Well, I need two. But I got 17. You know, that type of thing, you know, where you're spending all your time and thoughtful provision for the things of this world. And not making thoughtful provisions for the things of the Spirit, which will pay greater dividends. With the thinking that today demands, we endeavor to live the best we can for him. Philippians 3 again keeps it in perspective for us. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have won. It ain't over with yet. But there is one thing I do. I forget the things that are behind. Forgetting the things that are behind. I forget the past. I can't do anything about it. I put no mental effort in yesterday. Well, I could have done this and I should have done that and I didn't do this. No. Forgetting the things that are behind, good and bad, and stretching forward toward the things that are ahead. I press on in pursuit toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are mature, we want to be mature believers. Think in this manner. So here's how we're to think. And if you do think in any other manner, allow God to reveal it to you. You know, when you start thinking about what you're thinking about and you realize what you're thinking about is not too good, allow God to show you what you should think about by picking up the book. That usually helps. Even God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, let us walk now. Let us stop thinking about it and walk. Walk with orderly conduct, with a view to the same that we have already reached. Brothers, become fellow imitators of me and focus. But your focus, does that have anything to do with thinking? Yeah. When you focus on something, you're thinking specifically about something. Focus on those who walk in the same manner as you have us for a model. In contrast, many of whom I have often told you, and now I tell you even weeping, are walking as the enemies of the cross of Christ. They walked for God one time. They're not doing it now. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is even in their shame, who think earthly things. On the other hand, a reminder, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also patiently, underlying patiently, for where we also patiently wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for when he comes, he will transform our humiliated body that it may have the same form as his glorious body, according to the energizing by which he is able to subordinate all things to himself. And that's encouraging to know the hope. Christ is coming back, and when he does, the end of it all will be a glorious body, not a humiliated, vile, disgusting flesh. It will be a glorious body. So, continue to focus on those things. Continuing to forget yesterday and what can I do today, I keep pressing on for the things of God in Christ. Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles, the unbelievers walk, those in the world. Don't walk that way, because they are indeed walking in the futility of their mind. Who are darkened in the mind, who are alienated from the life of God. Hey, there's three things I want. Futility of my mind, darkened in the mind, and alienated from the life of God. No, thank you. But that's the world. That's where they're at. All right, don't be like that. Which is because of the hardness of their heart. They want to be Lord of their life instead of allowing Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. Being without feeling, they gave themselves up to unbridled lusts for the business of all uncleanness with greediness. Hi, I got greediness today and uncleanness? What are you doing today? However, you did not learn about the Christ in that manner. And I'm thrilled I got to learn about the Christ. I didn't learn about him that way. Inasmuch as you heard of him and were taught about him, even as the truth is in Jesus, namely, that you strip off the old man, according to the former manner of life, which is corrupt according to deceptive cravings, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you clothe yourself with the new man, which was created in accordance with God in justness and devotion to the truth. Wherefore, putting off the lying, speak the truth, each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun set on your anger. And by all means, do not give place to the devil, because if you give the devil an inch, or if you give a mouse a cookie, let him who has stolen steal no more, but rather let him labor,
hard. Labor hard by working, which is good, with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with him who has a need. Do not let any decadent word proceed out of your mouth. I am so great. Do not let any decadent word proceed out of your mouth, but rather whatever is good for edification, as needed, so that it may impart grace to those who hear. Likewise, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that is to say, God, by whom you were sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and hot temper and wrath and clamorous bickering and slander be removed from you with all evil. Instead, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also forgave you in Christ. You see, the Word of God is the foundation for right thinking in order to make right decisions. It cuts through both the body, emotion, and the soul, which is notion or brain thinking, to the real thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews 4:12 says, certainly the Word of God is living and powerfully active and sharper than every double-edged sword, even penetrating to the dividing between soul and spirit, and also between joints and marrow. And it is able to judge between the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In order, then, to think and walk in the ways that Christ attained for us, one needs to know them, which means invest some time to learn them. 2 Timothy 3 says, the Word is faithful. The Word is trustworthy. The Word is worth learning. In fact, if we died with Him, then we shall also live with Him. If we endure all things for the chosen ones, then we shall also reign with Him. But if we deny Him, then He will also deny us. Even if we do not believe, He remains faithful or believing. He cannot deny Himself. Remind others of these things, testifying before the Lord. Do not get involved in unprofitable word battles. I'll read that again. Do not get involved in unprofitable word battles to the overthrow of those who listen. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, an unashamed worker, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you do that, avoid profane, useless discussions. Well, that saves us a headache and keep us peaceful. I like the fact that it's on each side of studying the word. Don't get involved in unprofitable word battles that overthrow those who are listening. Be diligent to study the word and rightly divide it. And avoid profane, useless discussions, because they're not going to do nothing but advance ungodliness even more. So, the word, the world, the word, the world. Don't, yes, don't. All right. And their word, the avoid profane, useless discussions, for they will advance ungodliness even more, and their word will eat away as gangrene does. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have deviated from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred, and they overthrow the believing of some good people. Boy, I don't ever want to find myself in that category. Overthrowing the believing of some good people. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His own, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord withdraw from injustice. And finally, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all Scripture is God-breathed, which is where we want to go, and because all Scripture is profitable. It's profitable for teaching us. It's profitable for reproving us. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction that is in justice, so that the man of God may be equipped, fully equipped to do whatever it is God needs you to do. Whatever work needs to be done, you're equipped for it. So, in conclusion, think about what you're thinking about. Enjoy the fruit in your life of thinking the thoughts that pertain to Christ and His accomplishments.